This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Rachel Zimmerman, Andrew Stolz, Kevin Wheeler hanging out with you. Dave is out today, and he'll be back from vacation on Monday, so we will be back to normal when we all reconvene after the weekend. Our friend Alvin Reed is in for his regular Friday visit. Alvin, how are you?
I'm fine. How you guys doing?
Pretty good, man. What's new?
Oh, nothing much, man. 42 years of marriage today.
Congratulations.
And, you know, my wife is up in Washington State. We have a RV up there on a property of our in-laws on a like a private lake, kind of halfway between Seattle and Olympia. My in-laws, brother and sister, in-laws, their kids live in Tacoma.
Okay.
So, yeah.
You guys are heading for a trip?
She's up there now. I am going to go up probably in September and then drive back with
her.
Yeah, gotcha. She drove up with the Range Rover.
Nice.
You know, and my brother-in-law, sister-in-law. But their car was already up there because they had left Seattle to come to a family reunion back down in Memphis.
Okay.
So then they got back here and then they
drove
up. So I'm going to drive back with her.
Nice.
So good deal. Get a few days up there.
Nice.
She wants to be up there in the heat of the summer.
Well, I mean, I can think of places that would be worse to be than the Northwest in the middle of the summer.
And that's why she wanted to be up there. She wanted to be up there for a while. I'll get up there. It will be true fall, but I think I'll probably get some pretty good days.
Sure. It's usually pretty, I don't know. I'm gonna get myself in trouble with the Dave Murrays of the world, but pretty temperate up there in the Northwest.
I think that's the way to say it. Right.
It just sounded like a smart thing to say. It's probably stupid.
I just saw this up on the monitor. So we have guest coaches now. Yadi is he's a guest.
Yeah.
Coach.
Yeah. He is. He'll be participating for a couple of days.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm curious though. I mean, like we just talked about this with Bernie a little bit ago. It's interesting to see if it's something that is just seeing if he enjoys it and maybe wants to get back in and do more in the future.
I would say that. I don't know. I mean,
it's tough, man. You know, one thing that people don't understand, or I shouldn't say don't understand, they don't really think about it because it's not the world that everybody lives in. But a lot of guys who had the success that Yachty had are going to look at the schedule for a major league coach or a manager and go, no thanks. I've made $350 million. I spent 8-9 months away from home, when you count road trips, every year for the last 25 years, spring training through the regular season and through the postseason for a lot of those years. And when you're talking about a 75-80-hour work week for a major league coach and a manager, do I really want to do that when I don't need to?
Well, I was watching, I have the extra innings thing, and I was watching the Brewers because obviously they're playing pretty well.
Yeah.
But Prince Fielder was on.
Yeah.
And Ricky Weeks is now a coach for the Milwaukee Brewers, and they're good friends. And I didn't realize that Prince Fielder's one son is old enough. He's going to play at Ohio State.
Oh, yeah. His son's just out of high school. Yeah.
And another one is, I think, playing in the Fall League, or that might be the one that's going to go to Ohio State.
Yeah, I think that's the one, yeah.
But so Prince Fielder said, I'm finding that I have a little bit more time in my hands. And Ricky said, like, dude, you gotta think about coaching, whatever. And he said, now that I'm not spending so much time running around, he said, it sounded good. But he told him, he said, like, yeah, sounds good if I could do it on Friday and Saturday.
Well, and a lot of the guys that feel that way, they end up being the guys that do, like, they come into spring training for a few weeks. They spend some time there. They work with young guys, maybe rove around the minors and make trips around here and there, you know, to kind of visit and maybe offer some instruction and some tips and maybe a little bit of mentorship, a little bit of, hey, this is part of being in the organization, buddy. You know, here's what it's all about. Like, there are roles for players that former players that don't necessarily want to commit full time to doing that and still have an impact on the organization. And, you know, we haven't seen much of Yachty. This is the first time we're really going to see him back since he retired. Now, it's only been a couple years. It's not like he's been out of the game for 10 years. But, yeah, I think if I were in the position of those guys, I'd want some time away.
Oh, and 2 years, Maybe like minimum. But now, keep it. Yachty's going to manage Puerto Rico.
Well, he's managing
year.
The Puerto Rican national team.
And
he's
and
involved
Albert
in the Winter
is,
League.
Yeah, and Albert is managing the Dominican Republic. So I think that.
Wait, is he the Dominican?
I thought it was Dominican.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
So
I think to and I'm not calling it dabble like they're not really serious about it. I think that is a good way of deciding, do I want to do this or not?
Yeah, well.
Because you could times 5 or times 10, yeah. And then you could really say like, okay, that would really be a grind to do it day after day and night after night and all that. So I don't know. I don't know that either really of them want to manage.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
I mean, yeah, again, that's there's a lot to it that is beyond what you just think of, right? Maybe a lot of those guys would want to do the making out the lineup and coaching players and doing all that. Do you want to do the media hits three, four times a day, every day? Do you want to do the manager's show on Camo X like Ollie does? Do you want to do, do you want to do the post-game press conference on TV every day? You know, I'm like, there's a lot that goes into that because you're the voice of the franchise. You are the face of the franchise.
Yes.
And, you know, I remember, you know, there were a lot of people that would, and I believe Chris Duncan was the person that relayed this to me the way that he did. But, like, there were a lot of people that asked Dave Duncan why he never wanted to be a manager. Because he had all the background, right? Former catcher, great pitching coach, all that. Demand, people would have hired him. He's like, I don't want to do all that stuff.
Yeah,
I just want to coach. I don't want to do the interviews. I don't want to talk every day. I don't want to do that stuff.
Right. Well, you know, our jobs in journalism have changed. And mine did never change dramatically, but the job I started doing, you know, when I first became like especially a reporter, but even when I first, then became an editor, that job has now changed completely. And the job that you're expected to do like now kind of is the job that you were expected to do when you first really wanted that job. And so I think that being former ball players, they could say like, Tony La Russa was a great manager, and I love playing for him. Tony La Russa's job is different now.
Oh, my God, yeah. You know, they don't have nearly the influence that they used to.
So now I'm not stepping into to be Tony La Russa.
No.
I can emulate him, but the demand of the job and the front office the this and the that is completely different.
So I want to this is an interesting – to me, this is a great transition topic because it's baseball-related, but it actually, I think, applies across the board.
Okay.
To any field, politics, business, whatever. It's really interesting to me. So I heard this morning. I was listening to an interview with Stephen Vogt, who's the Indians manager, Indians Guardians manager.
Yeah.
Former player. This is only his second year as a major league manager, and he did not work his way up the coaching ranks. Not long after he retired from being a player, he got this job. I think he did some front office stuff.
Or something. Yeah, right.
But Stephen Vogt said this today, and I thought this was super interesting because the host of the show was Mike Farron. Mike's a good friend of mine. And Mike asked him, he said, so now you're near the end of your second year, is there something that you thought you had a handle on that now you realize you don't? And his answer was fascinating. He said, I learned that my eyes can lie to me.
Okay.
So he said, as a player, what you see is what you see, and you trust it because you've done this your whole life.
Right.
So, you know, the proverbial eye test, this is literally what he's talking about, the eye test. You know it when you see it. And he said, I've learned that my eyes can lie to me, and that's why it's so important for me to be listening to other voices who evaluate the things that I see from a different perspective because sometimes my eyes are wrong.
Okay.
And think about that from any field.
Yes.
When you're thinking about medicine, your eyes as a doctor, your what you're hearing can tell you one thing, but a blood test can tell you another. When you're a politician, your read on something might tell you one thing, but you could be wrong if you're not listening to the right people who know how the voting public sees that issue, right? I thought that was a fascinating thing of self-awareness, right? Where, you know, you're the most confident person in the world in your field, but there are things that you do have a blind spot for.
I would so agree. And that I think one of the key things is that the gifts come in many shapes and sizes, okay? And I think that at a pretty much young age, it was odd. I said, like, man, people have a tendency to do what I tell them to do. Not reckless or anything like that, but okay. Now, I don't know if that called that leadership or whatever, but I think the most important thing that I kind of got was, all right, listen to what these people
Yeah.
You kind of tell you back. And it's your first inclination is, I know what I'm talking about, because I'm one of those that are like, no, listen
to me. You're like, I know what I'm talking about. I lived it.
I know what I'm talking about. But especially as I began to grow older and the people were younger, and one day, and I think it was literally about 10 years ago, it was one of those things like, okay, now you've seen a lot. You know it all, back and forth. But, hey, there are younger people that are coming along, and they're telling you like this, that, or whatever, and you better listen to them, because they have their pulse on what people their age are thinking.
Right.
And that's where you were saying, my eyes see this, and they should do that. And it's like, well, Alvin, your eyes see things a little differently, you know?
Yeah.
And this is how they see it. And I said, like, I began to understand that, you know, I think I told a story here about those, like, crazy lime green uniforms that Oregon wore, and somebody in the front office said, like, Alvin, they're not for you. And just the way he said it to me was like, I really got it. Where he was saying, like, dude, you're whatever it is that you see running around on that field, you find it, that mustard yellow crap and blah, blah, blah. He said, they don't see that. You see, you're right. What you see is something totally different than what they see. And you better be listening to what they see, because that's who's going to sign a Division I, you know, letter of intent.
Yep.
That's who's going to be coaching your kid 10 years from now, whatever. And I said, like, so I kind of got it.
Yeah.
I kind of got it.
I just thought that was really interesting, because when we think about, you know, experience and, you know, in sports, people are like, I trust my eye test. Well, what makes you special?
True.
You know, like, people act like there's a magical skill when it comes to a vibe on politics or a vibe on sports, or like, it's not magic, man. There are things that are human that you have to learn to understand and interpret by human behaviors, body language, things along those lines. But yeah, there's also things you can measure.
Yes.
And you got to do all of it. You can't just trust your gut.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I think, and you know, you played infinitely more baseball games than I did. I played a lot of them. Then you've been covering sports. I have been covering sports, politics, news, all that. And I think one thing that I wish I could convey to people who haven't done those things is that a season is long, and a season starts when you're not really thinking about it.
Yep.
Okay. And people are already working on it, and it starts, and it begins, and it goes a long time, and then it ends. Before you know it, it's starting again. And you have to kind of be around it to begin to understand what the grind is, and why people slump, why people go through stuff and whatnot. Not personal stuff, but just like, I just don't understand that if you're this, why you can't do that. And I said, like, well, you would understand.
Yeah, you said it. You don't understand.
You're right. Good point. Like, so, like, well, you kind of don't understand. Right. Yeah. Right. And why, you know, if I was the manager, I'd be knocking over tables, and I'd be doing this, and I'd be doing that. And I said, like, no, you wouldn't.
You'd be fired in a week because the players would be turning on you.
Or either just like, that's not necessary.
Right. Good point. Alvin, have a great weekend,
buddy.
Okay,
man. Thanks so much. All right. I
want something. Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Few minutes, he'll set us up with the forecast for the weekend, and I don't know, probably answer another dumb question that I'll come up with.
I can't believe it's almost Dave Murray time.
It's crazy. Day's going by fast.
The show is flying.
Day's going by fast. Dave, again, back on Monday, and we'll get back to our business as usual.
I'm excited to see Dave. Miss my friend.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird when, it's always weird when one of us isn't here.
Yes.
Like, the remaining three, you're always just kind of like, something's off. Something's off. When any one of us is out, I can't speak for what it's like when I'm out because I'm not here. But when you're out or when Andrew's out or when Dave's out, it's just it's different.
Yeah, I always say, we're a family, and anytime one member of the family is not home, the family dynamic changes.
Dad's not home.
Yeah. It's not bad. It's not like, we're not a real family right now. It's just different. We just move different when one of us is gone.
Everything is, so when you're not here, it ends up being
the bro fest.
It's like a bro fest. It's a little bit too much. Like we're all 22-year-old dudes, because in our minds we are. It doesn't matter what your calendar age is. In your mind, you're still kind of that. Not to speak for every dude, but I'm speaking for the majority. I'm pretty sure because I know all of my friends agree, and I know a lot of people. So I think it's a pretty fair statement. When Andrew's not here, it's always a little bit weird because there's stuff that, like as an example, you've got duties over there that I am not aware of. And then I don't think any of us, Rach, you probably are more aware of what he's doing than like Dave and I are like, I don't know what that stuff is. But the podcasting and all that, but it's more the vibe that Andrew brings when you're telling a story the way only you can.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah.
Speaking of, have you noticed that all he's done today is brag about how many friends he has?
It's come up a couple times.
I have.
He's like, we're all 22-year-olds in our mind, and I know that because I know so many friends. I have so many friends that we talk about this with that, I think I got a pretty good sample size.
I mean, I could list them for you. No, I won't do that.
Yeah, we got time.
No, it'd be longer than our top 20. It's not. I just know.
Kevin's top 20 friends, and we better be on there.
You know all of the people.
We're not.
That you know,
he breezed right past.
No,
that.
We know. Guys, we know we're not.
You guys are in the top 10.
We don't even crack the top 50.
Nice.
That's just not true. I mean, that's kind of you.
No, it really is. Because
of all time.
Well, of all time, no.
Okay, but currently we're
of all time. I mean, I still got to account for my buddy Johnny, who is my best man, and I got to account.
I've never even heard of this guy.
Yeah, exactly.
Johnny.
Yeah, but you've got a best man in your wedding. I've never even heard
Johnny
of
Johnny B. I haven't talked to Johnny B in a while.
That's our friend.
We know a guy
friend.
Named Johnny B.
Do you?
Yeah,
it's not the same guy. I can promise you that.
Could be.
No, it couldn't be.
Was he 6 years old at your wedding?
No. There's a lot. Over time, it definitely is. Do you guys have that? Like, your group changes regularly, or do you guys still kind of have the same group? Because you guys are at least
no new friends.
You guys are at least geographically close to where you grew up.
Yeah.
I am nowhere near where all of my childhood friends are from.
I actually have some new friends, but I mean, mostly, I've got a couple of old friends that I've just kind of stuck with.
Oh, it's my turn.
If you want, you don't have to.
I actually just was talking to someone I went to high school with earlier today. It was nice. Hadn't talked to them in a while.
I mean, as an example, every friend that I have in St. Louis is still what I would consider relatively new.
That's nice.
I mean, it's 18 or 19 years, but those are my oldest friends. So guys like Tom Ackerman, like our boss Steve Moore, Derek Gould, those are some of the first people that I got to know.
My new friend, Tom Ackerman.
But I'm 53, so that's relatively recent when it comes to
that I met in 2005.
They're the beginnings of the new group, right? Because there's a St. Louis group, and I've got a Chicago group, and I got a Detroit group, and I got a Miami group. Because those are all the places I've been, and you have little groups in each place.
Yeah.
And it's a fascinating thing because they do sometimes cross over. Like, our friends will come down here and visit or whatever. But, I have, four different crews, and I don't see very many of them often except the ones here. So, for the current group, you guys are definitely top 10.
Okay.
All right.
I don't know if I want to go any further in the rankings than that because I don't want to offend anybody either here or elsewhere.
We're tied for 10.
Okay,
you're all tied for 10.
We're not going to make you do this off the air, but you are going to do it off the air. A numbered ranking of your best friends at KMOX.
Yeah, there we go.
All right. Yeah, I don't think I want to do that. You're all tied for first. I'm going to just steal the Tony La Russa. All right, TGS on a Friday. Dave is back on Monday. The rest of us hanging out, and our buddy Dave Murray joining us at his normal 3:30 spot. Hello, Dave.
Hello there. So I'm number 10 on the list.
You guys are all tied for first.
Okay.
Good. I'm not going to go anything
tied
on that.
First.
You're all
not
tied for
tenth?
First. No, you're all tied for first. I could go tied for 10th, but it's the same thing.
I'd be happy with tied for 10th.
All right, we got it. You're tied for 10th.
Okay.
Have you done that, Dave, in the places you've lived? Because I was describing to them, like, we have pods of friends because we've lived in four different places, and all of them for pretty significant amounts of time, right? Like, I grew up in the Detroit area, lived there for the first 18 years of my life, spent 4 years in college in Miami. That's a different pod. Another 13 or 14 years in Chicago, and now 19 years here this month, which is crazy.
Ooh, that is crazy.
So, I mean, I have my pod here is actually pretty big. It's actually quite a bit bigger than some of the other ones, even where I grew up. So it's like,
well, that's okay.
I think it's, no, it's just a fascinating thing because a lot of it is just geography. If you live in the same area that you grew up in, or you move to a place and stay there for that long a period of time, it just kind of becomes what it is.
Exactly. Right. You know, I mean, I've got friends around the country, but, you know, we don't see each other very often.
Right.
Sometimes on vacation, you know, that's about it. But otherwise, it's texting or emailing or calling or whatever.
Yeah. And that's why these guys are giving me a hard time about it, because I mentioned earlier that I'll look at my phone at times and I'll have a text thread that has 67 messages that I haven't seen yet. But it's because there's like 10 people on there, and then they get going on a thing, usually a football game or a baseball game or something. Yeah. And then it's just a constant back and forth, and it never stops. And every once in a while, you're just like, oh, my God, how am I going to catch up?
No. I don't tolerate
these
that.
These guys.
Delete.
I ain't reading all that. So let's Dave Murray.
I ain't reading all that.
But congratulations, or sorry that happened.
Yeah, or whatever.
Yeah.
Let's throw this at Dave. We'll throw this at you, Dave, because that came off of a conversation earlier of a woman was asking, not on the show, but a story I read, was asking, how does she tell a friend to stop texting so much? So obviously, you know, so much is relative, right?
Yeah.
You know, the more active a texter you are, the more you just kind of don't even look at that. But if you're kind of not super frequent with it, you know, there's an etiquette to things, but there are also people that kind of go over the top.
Yeah. But do you have to?
No.
Mean, you just have to ignore it, right? You just say, hey, you know what? Yeah. I'm not reading it.
Yeah, no, that's kind of, or you just reply at your pace, right?
Yeah, Giannis has a tendency to write really long text.
Oh, I don't know anything about doing that.
Especially to our son. And and she, you know, whatever the case may be, just news of the day or news of the week. And she'll go, next time we talk, she'll go, did you read my text? And he'll go, no.
Mom, I ain't reading all that. It's too much. No, I'm definitely guilty of being the long emailer and the long texter, because I'm a big fan of the voice to text. So I'm just going to turn it on, beep, and then I'm going to go, because I'm going to say what I got to say, because it's just right there. And then I shut it off, send it, boom. Yeah.
Delete.
Yeah. I know for a fact that happens all the time. And I don't judge, because I know what I am.
I wonder why he never responded to me.
Yeah, I know what I am. Or you get like or you just get the thumbs up.
You
know, like, thumbs up.
Sure.
Good job, buddy.
Whatever you said.
I agree. That's a good way to handle that. All right, Dave, what are we looking at? Same. Okay. It's kind of the same for the weekends we're seeing today.
You know, it's not extreme for St. Louis. It's not as bad as it was in July, but it's hot. It's humid. It's kind of typical. 95 tomorrow, 77 at night. Sunday, partly sunny, hot and humid. Maybe a spot afternoon storm on Sunday. Very tiny. 93. There's a little cool front trying to come in on Monday, probably late Monday. I'm not sure it really gets through. If it does, it just barely gets through. So a little better chance of a couple of scattered thunderstorms on Monday, but still kind of hot and humid, 92 degrees. If the front gets through enough, we could cool to about 80, upper 80s, let's say, on Tuesday and Wednesday. That'd feel good. That'd be fun.
Yeah. Upper 80s is great.
Oh, yeah. So this time of year?
Yeah.
Take it and run.
Yeah, I'd say in August, normally you're just worried about trying to avoid misery.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You know, it's as we said, February is an awful month and August is an awful month.
Yeah, we did decide that earlier this week, didn't we? They're the
for
two
different reasons.
Well, they're different, but kind of the same. Weather's not what you want. It's the opposite, but it's not what you want. Plus, there's just not that much cool going on. It's kind of a dead period.
for the kids out there, August means going back to school.
It does.
That adds to the layer.
Mm-hmm. When did so Rachel and Andrew, you guys, was August always the time you guys started back in school?
Yeah, the end of August.
End of August.
Now it seems like kids start at
it's
the
like
beginning.
Mid-August.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy how soon they start.
High school sports. High school sports probably starting.
Oh,
Monday,
the practices have already started. Yeah, they're getting all that stuff going. And I know, like when it changed gradually because when I was in grade school, I remember it being Labor Day. Like, we would go after Labor Day. But then in high school, it started to be, like, late August, and now it's way earlier than that. And it's not a complaint. It's just interesting.
Yeah.
Like, the way the time frame changes.
With me, it was always after Labor Day.
Yeah,
You got that three-day weekend, and then, bang, that Tuesday, back. Okay, school starts.
Yeah. It made some sense just because you had the marker, you know?
Exactly. Right.
I don't know the reasons why it shifted earlier. I'm sure they're good. I don't have the knowledge to question why anybody would be doing it, but... My guess would be is maybe it builds in a little bit of extra time in the year in case of snow days and things along those lines.
Build the snow days in.
Yep.
It's always hilarious to me when people on the stream make comments about their friends and family.
Yeah.
Because it's like, well, we might read it on the air. David says, nothing is worse than people who leave voice text, a.k.a. my sister.
Yeah.
And Mitch says, my grandma is the same way. She sends long text.
Well, the question I have for David David, the question is it an actual audio recording or is it just the voice to text thing? Which, by the way, can I say, for all the advancements in technology, the voice to text translation really sucks. Mm. Like, I have to go fix everything in there. I think I enunciate pretty clearly, and it cannot tell the difference between picture and pitcher.
Yeah.
And I say the word pitcher a lot because I'm texting baseball stuff a lot.
You know, Dave Glover used to be a big voice to texter. I feel like I notice him doing it less recently.
Okay. Yeah.
But Andrew and I would always joke about like getting the voice to text from Dave. You kind of had to like translate what he actually meant.
It would always be very wrong.
They would send.
Yeah, because it puts wrong
words. It's so funny. And I think everybody's kind of like this, but he would just be the only person I would see doing it. But he would sound like a serial killer because when he would voice text, he would be like, tell them I said don't do that.
Yeah.
I will fix it when I get home later, period.
I do that too, but I try to save that for the car as much as possible. I will do it at home, though, like when I'm alone. I try not to do it when Susan's around or when I'm around other people because I know it sounds like I'm a psychopath. Like, what are you talking to? Who are you talking to? I'm talking to all my friends all at once. That's the way it goes.
Hey, Mitch says a lot of old people use voice to text.
Oh, Mitch, taking shots. You're right.
Yeah, I know.
You're right.
That's good. I don't even know what that is. So.
Oh, come on, Dave.
I don't. I've
what,
never
old
used
people?
It. Yeah.
Old people, never heard of them.
Remember,
Andrew, you're catching up.
It's a super convenient way to say things without having to type it all out.
I've never used it.
Yeah. I don't blame you because, again, the more I do it, the less I do it because – or unless I want to do it because you're getting so many mistakes and you're like, it throws in random periods and end sentences. You're like, oh God, I'm going to look like an idiot if I send this.
Well, I just send thumbs up.
There you go. Oh yeah. Boy, I bet the young ones love you. All the young ones, because they think that's an insult.
Oh really?
Oh yeah.
Oh, I didn't
know like
that.
Gen Z thinks that the thumbs up is basically the middle finger.
Okay. Well, now I feel even better.
So
about
then,
two thumbs
there you
up.
Go. Now I'm going to send you two thumbs up.
One for each hand.
give him the double bird. Here you go. Enjoy that. All right, you want to slip in some headlines?
Yeah, headlines is brought to you by Schnucks. Reward yourself daily with the Schnucks Rewards app. Okay, according to a July survey from Resume Templates, 77% of Gen Z respondents, speaking of Gen Z, admitted to bringing a parent with them to a job interview. And 53% said their parent had spoken with a hiring manager on their behalf.
I do not blame the kids. I am so pissed about this. And it's not the young people, but Gen Z, they're soft. Like, no, your parents are idiots for doing that for you. Do not go with your kids to job interviews. Have some sense. You're the grown-up in this. Oh,
maybe
God,
not.
I'm so angry, man. That really makes me angry. Like, parents, you fly the helicopter away. I know. Stop hovering around your kid. You're not helping.
Well, what's the other one? Is it bulldozer parents?
Yeah,
they come
yeah.
and they knock over all the obstacles. That sounds more like a bulldozer parent
yeah,
move.
Like, teach
like
your...
let me talk to him, sweetie. Like, that's
Dave, what would
good.
Your response be if one of the kids said, hey, would you come with me to this job interview?
Well, first, if my son did that?
Yeah, yeah.
First of all, he wouldn't even ask.
Yeah, but yeah, I'm just creating
his
a fake scenario.
Suck. He's
no,
not
going to
ask that question.
No, I would say absolutely not.
Do it yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not the one working. You're the one who's going to work.
Yeah. Man, parents, I mean, you know, we older generations would like to yell at the youngins, but man, we're not helping them out by doing everything for them for their whole lives. Let them learn things, man. They got to do these things.
If you do that, if you go to a job interview, does the manager then have the right, if your kid is doing a lousy job or something that the manager's upset with, can the manager call you and say, hey, you know what? You need to talk to your son or your daughter.
Yeah.
I think that's fair game at that
Rach,
point.
Rach, what was the number you said there?
Oh, I already deleted the story, but it was like 60-something percent,
oh
like 68%.
I'm not even kidding you. If I were the one doing the hiring, you are immediately disqualified from candidacy. You are not getting that job.
Well, because you're a little baby.
The minute you show up with someone else, I don't care if it's your friend, your mom, your dad, you are not getting that job. I do not care what your qualifications are. You are not getting that job.
Let's do one more story because we're running a little late here. I thought you would love this, though, Wheels.
No boy.
Just talking about, you know, yesterday that former Google exec kind of warning of an oncoming 15 years of hell or whatever he said.
Yeah, the AI apocalypse.
Well, now we have another person warning of a AI apocalypse in the style of Terminator.
Oh.
And that person is James Cameron.
Oh, boy.
He's warning of the dangers of unchecked AI in military systems and draws parallels to scenarios depicted in his Terminator movies.
Of course.
He is...
You know what this reminds me of, guys? Me.
Exactly. Yeah.
I was a prophet. I foretold this.
Now, he is open to using AI in his films. He's not against AI by any means. He just wants the rest of us to keep in mind, hey, if you get this stuff involved in other areas of life... we could go Terminator mode.
Yeah. See, I'm definitely, I don't know how you are about it, Dave, but I'm definitely, let's build guardrails, man. And let's do it before this stuff hits the ground so you at least have a basis to work with. Because when it's anything that's unchecked, I don't care if it's AI or anything else, is going to potentially be a problem.
Yeah. I've tried AI a couple of times on some of the projects I work on for other companies. And it's totally useless.
Oh boy!
To me, to what I need it to do, it's totally useless.
Hopefully, not the case in the future. Have a great weekend, Dave. Thank you.
You too. See thumbs ya. Up.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Up tight, twisting inside, huh?
All right, finishing up 4 o'clock hour. George Mahey is going to join us after the news. We'll get you set into the weekend after that. We got the Redbird Rush Hour at 6 o'clock tonight. That'll be Bernie Miklas, Matt Pauly, and me. And then after that, we got Cardinals baseball. Cardinals and the Cubs pregame is 6:20 tonight, and the first pitch is 7:15. So looking forward to seeing how the series plays out and see what the atmosphere is like at the ballpark this weekend. The balance of Cards fans versus Cub fans and all that kind of stuff we'll be talking about. That'll be on Monday when we talk about it. Good Lord, I lost my words. Let's finish up headlines, Rachel. That's what I meant to say before my words went sideways.
Well, I've got a LaBooBoo story for you guys.
A LaFoofoo?
These are LaBooBoos, not LaFoofoos.
Oh, Andrew and I had an idea, by the way.
Some genuine LaBooBoos.
Weren't we the ones that had the idea?
Do we have an idea?
LaDoodoos?
We could do that.
You remember that?
Yeah, I think I remember.
Is it
that.
I think it is?
Yeah.
Gross.
Sorry, go ahead.
His idea.
So a small resale shop in California was targeted by burglars. I struggle with that word, you guys. I want to say burglar.
Burglars.
Who stole an estimated $30,000 worth of merchandise, including some Labubu dolls.
That's like two Labubus.
Yeah, exactly. They'd uncleaned them out of Labubus. There's surveillance footage of the suspect smashing through the front door, and they believe the break-in was planned, possibly by individuals who had been monitoring these shop's social media activity. They must have been posting those Labubus, mm-hmm. and those criminals were like, oh, I gotta get my paws on one of them. So
wait, so some of these Labubus cost $900?
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's insane.
Why?
Like, that's why people are stealing them.
No, but are they rare? Are they?
Yeah, they're rare.
Is this just like the little tiny stupid version of like Beanie Babies?
They're rare Boo-Boos.
I mean, I would compare it to like a baseball card or something, I guess.
So yeah, all right.
People are just collecting them, and the rare ones are going for one of the, there's like a leader of the Labubus.
There is?
Yeah, it's like Zim something.
Yeah, Satan or something. I don't remember what it is. Something like that.
Lucifer.
Yeah. Beelzebubu.
Okay, last week we talked about Dean Cain. Were you here that day, Wheels?
I can't remember, but I think so. I think I remember this.
Yeah, he had come out and said, you know, I was sexually harassed on the set of Superman and Lois, or whatever the name of the show is. Sorry, Lois and Clark, The New Adventures of Superman. So he was talking about that last week. This week he's back in the news because he says he has joined ICE, actually.
Oh.
And he joined with the first responders to, in his words, help secure the safety of all Americans. So,
just like Superman would do.
Yeah, just kind of thought it was interesting that he was making headlines 2 weeks in a row, and this week it's because he joined up with ICE. So I guess, you know, keep that in mind, people. Dean Cain could be knocking on your door sometime
soon. Watch out, Superman's coming. We'll be right back.